Flyers Daily with Jason Mertidis.
All right, here we go. Brand new Flyers Daily for the 23rd of April, 2025. Flyers Daily presented by Ticketmaster. Make more memories live. Hello, Jason Mertidis with you. It is the offseason. NHL playoffs underway. Been pretty compelling so far. Pretty interesting matchups. Battle of Ontario once again taking place last night between Toronto and Ottawa. See Scott Laughton and Claude Giroux jabbing at each other. We also have the Battle of Florida. We have some really cool matchups. Winnipeg's been really good so far. I thought maybe they would have a little bit of trouble in the first round. Not be the case. Washington gets a game one win over the Montreal Canadiens, who had to do everything they could just to get into the playoffs. So it's been pretty compelling so far. And damn it, I want to be a part of that mix again very soon for the Philadelphia Flyers. In this episode, I'm going to kind of real quick lay out our kind of plan here for the offseason. And we'll get to a couple emails. I'm not going to go too crazy in this one. I'm really, to be honest with you, still trying to get my thoughts together on the season. Try and, you know, remove the grind and the wear and tear of a season and have real rational evaluations and try to figure, you know, who needs to be better. I mean, there's some obvious one who's like Owen Tippett's a guy that needs to be better. And goaltending needs to be better, but I want to go much deeper than that. So we will get to that coming up, perhaps even Friday, if I'm able to do the show on Friday. I do have treatment, my final chemo infusion tomorrow at the Abramson Cancer Center, which I'm not looking forward to at all. I'm glad it's the final one, of course, but this recovery from number 7 has been absolutely brutal and devastating and difficult, and it's gone well beyond a week, and I'm still really beat up, really beat up bad. So not looking forward to Thursday, but I am looking forward to being the last one and getting a little bit of break and new scans coming up on May 7th. And hopefully those scans, which gives me a whole nother level of anxiety thinking about them, hopefully they yield some really good news. I think they will. So I look forward to that. Although I got some anxiety about it too. Not afraid to admit it. I'll admit anything here at this point because I think it helps people. Okay, real quick. Here's the schedule coming up for the summer. We did this schedule last year as well in the offseason. It's Monday, Wednesday, Friday. That will do Flyers Daily. Mondays will be Mondays with Meltzer as per usual, not just through the playoffs, but all through the summer. And then we will get into Flyers Exit Day interviews on Wednesdays and Fridays, or just sometimes we have to bump it because breaking news happens. Like when they hire a coach, we would probably bump an Exit Day interview and move it to a later date. When the Flyers hire a new coach or they make a trade or make a free agent signing. But I have about 18 interviews on tape now with current Flyer players. I think they're all really good. Some of the best work I think I've done. I think that that wall between player or interviewee and interviewer has been knocked down a little bit further. And I actually think my illness plays a part in that. I'll be honest with you. I believe that. And I've had a chance to correspond with a lot of players through my illness that have been very supportive. I think we have some really real conversations, and I think you guys are going to really enjoy them. I know I enjoyed having them, and that's kind of how I judge it. I'm a hockey fan. I've been working in the media for over 31 years, and I've had a lot of fandom beat out of me. But there's certain elements of fandom that aren't beaten out of me. And I think it's that gauge for what would I want to hear if I was a fan. And I can ask these silly questions and chalk interview questions. What means more of this? You know, you can do that. But I'm not interested in those kind of stock interviews. I'm interested in having conversations with a person. So I think that's what you're going to hear in these Exit Day interviews. And it's kind of what I try and provide. It's how I approach my interviews. I do more listening than talking, and we respond in kind because it's a conversation. It's not just me trying to get through a list of questions that I came up with some witty responses expected as a result. It's not my plan of attack. So that'll be the plan as we get up to, and you know, the draft time in June, late June, and then in the free agency, July 1st, and throughout the remainder of the summer with you know, prospect or development camp right after the draft, the kind of prospect scrimmage that Brian Smith and I do each and every summer. And then we'll be counting down the days to Captain Skates training camp and everything comes with it. All right, let's get to a couple of emails. This first one comes from Bob. Bob says, "Hey, Jason, I hope this day has you feeling at least good enough." It is good enough. That's about the most I can say. He said, "I know you didn't want to talk about the draft during the season, but with the next big days of the Orange and Black, specifically about the draft and lottery, I thought I would ask this question. Hypothetically, if the Flyers get the first pick at a certain level where both Matthew Schaefer, a defenseman, top-rated player in this draft, and Michael Mezia, a high-scoring center and the number two-ranked player in this draft, are available, where do you think they lean? Obviously, if they have a shot at one or both of these players, they probably had to move up via the lottery." Yeah, to number one, I would think. He said they're both elite talents, obviously, but Mezia would be the best bet to make the Flyers first of the two. But could they pass up a chance to draft a potential number one D-man to take a potential 1C or 2C that would be closer to an NHL career? I look forward to your input. Thanks again, bud. And of course, I wish much better days ahead for you. Cheers. Thank you. I really appreciate that, Bob. I've been asked this question a couple times. Not on the podcast that I've tackled here, or on the record, if you will. I think if the Flyers move up to the number one spot, they win the draft lottery, the 9.5% cashes, and they move up from four or wherever to number one overall, I think you take Matthew Schaefer. I think you take the number one D-man. I think you take the top player in the draft. Now, why? They need a 1C. Absolutely. They also need a 1D. And both players are of paramount importance in long-term roster building success. But I would look now. The thing I don't know is I don't know the interview process with the player's character, talking to their coaches, talking to coaches throughout their development. I don't know any of that stuff. I'm just going on the sheer, you know, rankings of players. If I have the bona fide 1D at number one overall, or I could take the guy who's going to be a 1C, possibly 2C, in Mezia at number two, I'm taking the 1D all day, every day. And I know that we talk about 1C as the more needed option, and it is, because they do have the defense is not as needing as the center position in total. So that's part of it. But I take the number one player ranked in Matthew Schaefer. That's who I take with the number one overall pick if the Flyers were to move there. And look, we'll see come draft time. These drafts, like this draft, can be very variable. We see these, you know, mock drafts and the rankings and all of that. Well, the team that ends up being number one may not see Matthew Schaefer as the number one overall pick. So if you draft two, you may not end up with him. He may end up available to the Flyers. This isn't one of those Connor Bedard, Connor McDavid type drafts where it's abundantly obvious, without a doubt, lock, stock, and barrel, put the mortgage on it, stone cold mortar lock, that player X is going to be the number one overall pick. It's not like that. There is not a generational player at the top of this draft. So there's a chance that he could be there at two. Good email though, Bob. I appreciate it. Thank you for sending it. Jason.Mertetus, jason.myrtetus@gmail.com is where you can send them. David emails in. "Hey, Jason, hope you're doing well. Great stuff by you and Bill, as always, on Monday's episode." This is a really good email. He said, "I think Danny and Jonesy have been, in all caps, blatantly clear about their plans, as much as they say without being guilty of tampering," all in bold letters now, "they don't want the best player available. They want the best player." Keith Jones has said it on this podcast multiple times. He has said it on other podcasts and other media appearances as well. "We don't want the best player available. We want the best player." So David goes on to say, that is one guy, Connor McDavid, who happens to be a free agent after next season, scheduled to be a free agent, provided obviously he doesn't extend in Edmonton. And David goes on to say, "There are two tells, and if these are both met, then I would bet serious money that this is the unquestionable plan. And like the Flyers of old that you and I remember, they will land the player they want." Now, there was a time when the Flyers would not be outbid. If there was a shiny toy out there, they were coming home with it. It's different now in a salary cap league, but here's David's two tells that need to be met. He said, number one, do the Flyers build a team that will make the playoffs next year with a clear path for the core to continue to improve? McDavid won't even consider signing with a bottom feeder. No way. And I totally agree. McDavid's not interested in a rebuild. No way. He wants to win. He's gone through a rebuild in Edmonton as the most talented player on the planet. And then he said number two, and he said, this is the big one. After improving the roster this summer, do a projection based on contracts expiring, money off the books after 25-26. Will they be setting themselves up to be able to offer the league maximum to McDavid? This is why I've said it on a number of occasions. You don't go out and get the best available guy this summer to take yourself out of any sweepstakes that may arise the next summer when the best players are available. That includes Jack Eichel, too. They're both scheduled to be free agents. I think Eichel resigns in Vegas, so I don't think it'll be a situation there. But I think there's a chance that McDavid could hit the market. He said if those two big tells are met, then next summer McDavid will be under contract in Philly. I guarantee you. Best wishes in your recovery, David. Now, you can't guarantee that because if McDavid goes to market, everybody's in play. There'll be teams looking to move money out to find a way to fit them. We know that. But what can the Flyers offer? And what the Flyers can offer is a max contract. They would be in position to do that. They offer some of the easiest travel in the NHL, which matters to players. First-grade facilities, a brand-new building coming. They can offer the ability to be on the East Coast and maximize your name brand, which you cannot do in Edmonton. You can do it in Chicago. You can do it in New York. You can do it in Boston. You can do it in Philly. You can do it to some extent in DC. You can do it in LA. And you can do it in Toronto and Montreal. But those are some of the things the Flyers can offer. And I I've let my mind go there when Keith Jones says, we don't want the best available, we want the best player. To me, that screams one name too. I've let my mind go there. Is that the plan? I don't know. But I think the plan is to be in a position to be in the conversation, in the running, to present their case to the best, most talented player on the planet. Is it going to happen? I'm not going to guarantee it. Has my mind gone there? I can guarantee you it has. So take that for what it is. I don't have any inside information. I would love, I mean, obviously, to see that happen. One last one, Craig Keller. Hi, Jason. Well, an abrupt end of the season on April 17th was not what any fan wanted, but it was good to see them battle to the last seconds. I agree. I thought they ended this season with a lot of integrity. He said, I agree with you on karma being a thing that matters greatly. Yeah, I saw karma flash itself yesterday with somebody I used to work with. Karma sometimes doesn't come when we want it to come, but it takes time, but it comes. He said it can be really identified or quantified. It can't be identified or quantified, but can be seen and felt. Proper mental attitude can make almost anything possible. Poor attitude, you might as well just be the Sabres. Enjoy your exit interviews. Surprisingly looking forward to seeing what the team does this offseason. Should be eventful. Also, the main thing is for you to keep pushing in your fight. You are doing a lot of great work getting the word out on taking care of one's health, and I'm glad you benefit from doing the show. Though don't overdo it. I can't explain how much you help me with what I'm dealing with right now, but thank you. Take care, Craig. Craig, thanks for the note so much. I got a message yesterday from a guy that went and got a colonoscopy, and they found some concerning things, and they found it early. So listen to your body. Craig, your note means a ton to me. And everybody's notes mean a ton to me. I'm going to work this summer as much as I can, through as much as I can. Like I said at the beginning of the episode, I have my final chemotherapy infusion coming up tomorrow. I think there's this notion that I got, and I think other people that have gone through it have gotten, people I've corresponded with, that, oh, you just have to recover from your last infusion and you'll start to feel better. But it's going to take time. And it's going to take a lot of time. Sometimes it takes 6 months, a year for the fatigue to fade. And the fatigue is, no, it's not just tired. I need to take a nap or I need to go to bed early tonight. This kind of fatigue is all encompassing. It is physical to every cell in your body. It is mentally fatigued. And it's, frankly, it really wears you down mentally. There's a mental fatigue element to it where you're just so tired of being tired and you just want energy to be able to go out and do things and push your body and push your mind and push your day that I just haven't been able to do it. It's been an incredibly difficult week of recovering physically from my last infusion, where I've said before, physically recover. This is a 70% physical battle, 30% mental. This last recovery has been 50-50. It has really beaten me up physically, and it's kicked the crap out of me mentally at times too. It's been very difficult. And I have scans coming up on May 7th to see the result of what this has done, the effect of these 8 chemotherapy treatments over 4 months. I'm looking forward to them on one hand, and I'm scared to death of them on the other hand. I just am. That's the scanxiety that I'm going to live with. I'm told that's the word, the anxiety that comes from getting scans when you're a cancer patient. So listen to your body. The best thing I could hope for is that anybody listening to this doesn't have to go through this, what I'm going through. So listen to your body, and if something doesn't feel right, go to your doctor and get a colonoscopy. Everybody, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. I may be here Friday. If not, Brian Smith will be filling in. I have to see how I respond to tomorrow's treatment, but I appreciate you listening. Appreciate you watching, and we'll talk to you next time on a brand new Flyers Daily.